Don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? One of the worship team didn't bring the Bible. How many times have you been coming here? Next time you forget, we'll take you out and shoot you. Oh, they will come back. They will come back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tonight's message is the day of the Lord and practical commands. Let's start. In the final chapter of the 1 Thessalonians, then we are seeing the Christians' action, what we're supposed to do in the view of the return of Jesus Christ. It can be rapture and it can be the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're both relevant, both important in our lives. In chapter 1, we learned about what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. It's more like attitude, what kind of attitude we're supposed to have for the return of Jesus Christ, which is the rapture at that point. Now, the attitude without action, mindset without action, is no longer good. It's radically wrong. So we must put together action items. Before we do that, we have to make a couple things clear. The day of the Lord begins with the night. Let me repeat one more time. The day of the Lord begins with night. Remember, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? And he created what? Light. That means prior to light, what was it? Darkness. It wasn't night. And when he created the first day, he said evening and the day. And that was the first day. That's not the only thing. Yes, this world is a dark world. And it is going to get worse for a 7 years period after the rapture happened. 7 year period, it will be literally hell on earth, folks. And aren't you glad you're not going to be here? Amen. So that is the darkest night. But dawn is coming. And after 7 years of tribulation, there will be dawn. Second coming of Jesus Christ. He will make everything day. And not only that, after that, in heaven, there is no more night. No more night. No more tears, no more pain. So when you get up in the morning, if you're like me, every part of your body aches, even if you slept well. I start to walk around like this for a while, like a caveman, and then it takes about 20 minutes for me, my body start to move around. You agree with me? Oh, yeah? Thank you. Amen, brother. Amen. Anyway, so we will think that there won't be any more pain, and that is a great way to do it. Initially, it's important for us to understand the curiosity about the prophecy. Is it wrong to have a curiosity for the future or the prophecy? Absolutely not. God put that in there. According to the Ecclesiastes, King Solomon wrote that, and chapter 3, verse 11 says, God put the eternity in our heart. So that is normal for us to desire for the prophecy and as well as the future things. However, if we try to comprehend that is not comprehensible, we are causing problem to ourselves. Hunger for the truth of prophecy is one thing, but when we try to eliminate all the mystery that we cannot understand, causing problem to ourselves. Let me put it this way. Those who leave a little room for the mystery make a lot of room for the mistake. Do you hear me? Those who leave a little room of the mystery of God leave a lot of room for the mistakes. We try to comprehend the things that are unscrewable, so we try to do unscrew it, and then we end up coming up with some stupid formula. like a setting date for the rapture. Didn't the Bible say that no one knows the date? Even the Son of God doesn't know. If we say we know and we claim that we are better than Him, how can it be? Two things we should know, as I said before. Number one is the day of Christ and day of the Lord. You may say, what's the difference? Well, there's a tremendous difference. One time, Pat Howell brought this attention to me, brought to my attention, and I told her briefly, and she brought very good point. The day of the Lord and day of the Christ is completely different thing. Day of Christ is more like the day of the rapture. And day of the Lord is not just one day. It starts from the day after of the day of Christ all the way to the time. So let's start with the, someday I'll get used to with the how to put this thing together. The day of Christ, this is the period connected to the reward and blessing of the saint at the coming of Christ for his own, the rapture. The expression occurs in 1 Corinthians 1:8, 5:5, 2 Corinthians 1:14, Philippians 1:6, and 10, and 2:12. In 2 Thessalonians 2:12, 2:1 and 2, that portion, we're going to skip that and we're going to go to the next one. The day of the Lord is connected with the judgment, but day of the Christ is connected with, directly connected with the church of Jesus Christ. You follow me? All right, let's go to day of the Lord. In chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, bless you. Apostle Paul continued comforting his readers, that is the Thessalonican people, who, because they're going through a hard time and feared that some of the people might miss the time. And they fear for the day of the Lord is beginning. It's not happened yet. So that he's trying to let the people know that the day of the Lord is even come here yet. If the day of the Christ is not there, the day of the Lord is not there yet. You follow? Let's go to keep your finger right there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. That is my New King James says. Some of you has an NIV or New American Standard Version says, the day of the Lord has come. Which one is correct? Since there are two completely different days, which one is correct? In this case, NIV and New American Standard Version, New Living Translation, they are the correct one. The day of the Christ mentioned in New King James and King James are incorrect. Because when you look at it in the context, the day of the Christ cannot be there. It's the day of the Lord. So, again, this is another point of those who believe that King James is the only authorized version, only correct version. Well, eat the crow, guys. It's not. The day of the Lord is a visual manifestation of Christ upon the earth. It should be distinguished from the day of the Christ. You follow me? Everybody understand day of the Lord, difference between day of the Lord and day of Christ? Any questions? Okay. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 5. Yes. You'll read it. You'll learn. Keep on. Sure. Not all of them. That particular one, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that should be the day of the Lord. Do you have a New King James? Is there a New King James? Jackson's one? Maybe he changed that portion. I won't be surprised if the pastor Chuck changed that portion because he knows better. Yes?
I write notes in my Bible and I gather the day of the Lord is mentioned repeatedly in the Old Testament.
Yes, it is. The day of the Lord is also known as the day of Jacob's trouble, known as the Great Tribulation, 7-year period. It's not just one day. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I read your Bible. Verse 1 of chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The word time is in Greek word is a chronos. And we get the word chronology, chronos. So that's that. This time and season is not for us. It is for the unbelievers. Okay, you said it will. Well, let's read that portion again, verse 1. But concerning the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I should write to you, for yourself know the perfectly day of the Lord. So comes as a thief in the night. Is that for the believers or is that for unbelievers? It's for unbelievers. Why is it for unbelievers? We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. But he told us wait and watch and pray. So we know the day is coming. Correct? Someday, if we live long enough, how long? I don't know. But let's say rapture is going to happen in a couple of years. Hopefully before the killer gets into the White House. he didn't get it. If the Lord comes in a couple of years, let's say, I'm just making up, then we will have been expecting him. So it doesn't catch us off guard. But however, the non-believers who blow this idea of rapture or the second coming of Jesus Christ, they'll be cut off guard. That's what it meant. Coming to them like a thief in the night. How many times do you know the thief come? And any of you being robbed by a thief? And you know they don't come. I'm going to send you an email, guys, and I'm going to come to your home around 2:30 in the morning and rip you off. They don't do that. So these people, non-believers, they will be completely cut off guard. Verse 3. Note this, please. For when they, underline they, peace and safety and certain destruction comes upon them as labor pain upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Until now, every pronoun was what? You. All of a sudden, pronoun is changed to them. Until now, he's been talking to the believers in the Thessalonica. Now, he is talking to those who don't believe Jesus Christ, those who will be caught off guard. You with me? That is extremely important. So, they are the one who is going to face a destruction out of blue, even though it's been prepared all this time for 2,000 years, been prophesied and through this book. And they ignore this book and throw this book away, try to burn this book. And finally, the book speaks. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. This explains everything. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Because unbeliever lives in darkness and spiritual ignorance, they are completely unaware of what's going to happen. But Christians live in the light of truth. And so, rapture of church, again, need to bring the two things. Number one, rapture brings actually does two things. Number one is it ends the day of grace, which is people are calling and calling out his name, bringing many people to glory. People come to know Jesus Christ during the time of day of grace. Soon as the rapture happened, no more. That changes the scene. And from the day, right, the moment of the rapture is done, day of the Lord happens. 7 years, time of Jacob's trouble. And the Old Testament says, 7 years, horrible time. Until now, they probably say peace and safety. That is a false sense of security that we are going to talk about. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Note that, sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are the day of the be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope of salvation. A lot of people get drunk with the power and making money, greed, and whatever the world can provide. People just being sucked into that kind of thing because it tickles their carnal pleasure. But the child of God should stay sober and stay alert. That's why the word says, be watchful, be prayerful. It's extremely easy for the Christian to fall into that trap too. I've seen way too many Christians, they set their own goal, 5-year plan, and they start to make money, and they get all excited. Oh, yeah, if I make more money, I'm going to give more money to God's work. Really? Then greed get hold of them. Remember what I said. Money makes a great servant, but it also makes a horrible master. Let me repeat one more time. Money makes a great servant. If you use it well, you can use it for the kingdom of God. But it makes horrible, horrible master. We became enslaved into their greed. So, they forget about the God. They forget about the other things that is important eternally. And they go all back down to their own goal, their own greed. They are not the only one. Church can get into that kind of garbage too. If I name one, building project. Some of you guys went through the building project from other church. And you're hoping that we don't have that problem. Well, so far we don't have that problem because we don't have a building. Thank you. But one thing I promise you. Somehow we have building. And we have a land. We will do according to his way. If he doesn't provide, we don't go. You will never see this thermometer with the line going up. And I guarantee you I would not beg for money. If I do that, it's time for you guys to shoot me. To be sober-minded means be alert. And we have to live with our eyes open. Bless you. And the Apostle Paul is drawing a picture, a vivid picture, one group of people who was drunk and in darkness. And another group of people with sober-minded and the children of day. And these people who are drunk at night, and they are the one who has a false paradise, they are the one who has a false sense of security. Salvation can be distinguished in three ways, in three tense. Some of you guys heard this before. Bear with me. It's good, so I'm going to repeat it anyway. In past sentence, as I have been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin, also known as justification. He justified me. Second thing we find is a present. I am being saved from the power and the pollution of sin. We are being sanctified. We are continuously being sanctified, being set apart from this worldly influence, We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus whenever we come to him and ask forgiveness. That's why I tell you guys, keep the short account with God. If you keep the wrong account with God, you're going to forget that, and your heart's going to get callous, and pretty soon you're going to start to fall backward, and known as backsliding. Sanctification should happen every moment. Third, future, I shall be saved from the very presence of sin when I get to heaven. When I was a baby Christian, I used to be scared to death. And I thought, what if I sin against God when I get to heaven and he's going to kick me out of from the heaven to the hell? Little I knew, once I get into heaven, there won't be sin. I won't have a sinful nature. Thank God. That's a glorification. So first thing, past is justification. Present is sanctification. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we will be glorified by the blood of Jesus Christ in heaven. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else we can add or subtract. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Would you underline? As a matter of fact, would you underline the person on your right side, that point, scripture? For God did not appoint us to wrath. And highlight wrath, circle it, put the arrow down there, whatever you have to do, just look so you can see it later. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This is another great evidence of pre-tribulation. God says, God did not appoint us to wrath. What kind of wrath? Wrath of God. Who get the wrath of God? Children of God? No, we don't get the wrath of God. That's what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross. He took the wrath of God onto himself so that we don't have to face that sin, the penalty of sin. But those who reject the Jesus Christ, thinking that I'm going to make my way to heaven, thank you very much. You didn't have to do that, God, Jesus. Those who reject Jesus will face the wrath of God after the tribulation. Speaking of tribulation, Mormon people believe that they will go through some sort of the tribulation. So that's why they build basement with the concrete. And they have this place where they stack up the MRE, the military C rations. And they also have a lot of weapons. Well, but then again, in our church, there's a bunch of weapons. So that's not the point. From passed down, right? As you know, the end of each teaching, I come up with the applications, correct? Either challenge or applications. Some applications I have to dig in. I have to look around. I have to sought after God and what he wants. Or sometimes it's just in a plain view. This is the case in point, folks. And from the verse 11 to all the way to verse 28, one after another, as a matter of fact, I've counted 22 commandments and from the Apostle Paul's lips and to us, how to live in this last age. In a rapid firing mode, he come up with this thing. Let's start at verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other. That's number one. Edify one another. Number two, just as you are doing. Comfort each other. Look at the mess I'm making here. Aren't you glad that you don't have to clean my mess? Comfort each other. Note that what it says. Comfort. Didn't say, ask for comfort from somebody. Comfort each other. Other people first. I forgot his, William Booth. Yeah. General William Booth, he's the founder of Salvation Army. One day he was supposed to do the speaking engagement at this particular branch of Salvation Army, and he couldn't go because he was sick. So he sent a telegraph to this branch people had one word, others. Comfort each other instead of asking for comfort from other people. Second commandment is edify one another. Edify one another. To edify means build up. If we have a church full of people who would build up each other, and that means they are participating. As a matter of fact, you will see Sunday morning announcement. One of the announcements is, I'm going to ask people to pray for more workers for the children's ministry. If you know how to teach to the children, what a great opportunity to teach them about Jesus Christ at their young age. Mold and shape them. If you know how, get involved. Let's go to verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. So I find the third commandment to recognize those who labor among you. And fourth commandment, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. God has ordained the leadership in the local church. And it is true, at the bottom of the foot of the cross is the level ground. Nobody is God's favorite. There's no God's pet Christian. And I know you might think that I am the pet Christian and I'm the God's choice. Well, ask other people. They feel that way, too. Just like the flock needs the shepherds, each local church needs the shepherd and the leaders. They are God's appointees. I do not believe any church government system that the majority vote the pastor in, vote the pastor out. Since when the majority was correct? Since when the majority was correct? If I can name Bill Clinton, majority put him into the White House. Was he the right choice? Wrong choice. And this, once it's not bad enough, and then the people vote him back in because the economy is good. What a stupid idea that was. And you may say, yeah, not politically correct, so what? It said, be at peace among yourselves. That's the fifth commandment. Now, the simple commandment, Paul said a Christian should simply put away all the squabbles and argument among themselves. I've been in the Lord for 19 years. I've seen enough squabble and argument within a Christian. I'm a mature Christian, so-called, and I'm sure that I haven't seen them all. I'm sure there will be more. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort faint-hearted. Let's go back there. Warn those who are unruly, that's sixth commandment. Comfort faint-hearted, seventh commandment. Uphold the weak, eighth. Be patient with all, ninth. See that no one render evil for evil, that's tenth. But always pursue what is good for both, for yourselves and for all. That's 11. Warn those who are unruly. This is a kind of military term. It means unruly means out of order. There are people who are kind of prima donna, and they think that they are the hotcake, and they think they're special. They can be out of rank. And they think they can make their own march. See, if it's nothing more than personal preference, I don't make a big fuss out of it. But when the person becomes unruly, I learn to deal with them rather quickly. I learn by experience. If I don't deal with them quickly, it causes more problems down the road. And those who have an unruly attitude, it's not because they are led by God, but they are led by their own pride. Comfort the faint-hearted is self-explanatory. Uphold the weak. By nature, some people, this doesn't mean they're weak physically. These people are rather into the rigid legalism, and just about everything bothers them. Folks, this is, remember 1 Corinthians. If the meat, eating meat, Apostle Paul says, eating meat bothers some people, for their sake, do not eat the meat. Remember that? If it's a preference, let's just ignore it. Let them have their way. Unless it comes to the Christian doctrine. There where we draw the line, that's where we're going to die on that hill. Rest of them is personal preference. Be patient with all. Just like I said before, different taste, different preference. So be patient with everyone. See, no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Christians are not supposed to take revenge. Does it mean we cannot do self-defense ourselves? That's not what I said. Revenge, taking revenge is a completely different thing. Self-defense, being a police officer, being a soldier, by all means. But taking revenge, God says don't. If we defend ourselves, God will not defend us. I said before, I will say repeat it many times. But if we let God defend ourselves, He will defend us better than anyone can. 11th one is always pursue what is good for both yourself and for all. If you're like me, it's easy for me to look for bad things from other people. Aren't you? Aren't you that way too? It's easy for us to find the bad things about the other person than the good things about that person. So we criticize, well, he doesn't have the hairdo that the way he should have. Because it's your own favorite style, right? And the ladies especially. The dress, they check out the dress each other and say, what kind of stone they have on those fingers. Is that real hair color? Who cares? Stop it, ladies. Stop. Yeah, shoes don't match and the socks don't match. You know, let's face it, guys. If I walk in from there and if Bob walks from the other door and we have the same clothes, we are instantly friends forever. And the two ladies walk in from the opposite side of the room and they're wearing the same clothes. Ooh, cat fight. Be patient with one another and look for something good. And let me ask you this. If you have, you may say, I don't criticize the other person. I just state the facts. How would you like God to state your fact? I don't. Because I have so many things that I do wrong, I don't want him to talk about my bad things, but I want him to talk about what God, Jesus, done for me. If you have a tendency to criticize other people, let me repeat one more time. If you have a tendency to criticize other people more than you talk about something good about that person, maybe this command is for you. Instead of criticizing, look for something good in the other person. Maybe you start to like that person. Maybe that's why you don't want to find something good in that person. Verse 16, rejoice always. That's another commandment. Pray without ceasing. There's another one. In everything give thanks. Commandment. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I better change this slide. Do not despise the prophecy. Oh, I'm sorry. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from all form of evil. Let's go start with the rejoice always. Not only rejoicing in happy things, also in sorrows. Christian can rejoice always, not because the circumstance, because who God is. Circumstance change. One day, you might be in the mountaintop with God. Next day, you might be down in the gutter. You might be whistling down the road, Highway 19, and next moment you have a tire blown up and your fan belt broke and your alternator went out. From mountaintop to the slide, all the way down to the valley. The joy that is a strength comes from God can overcome that. Pray without ceasing. Does it mean we will have to walk around and with the closed eyes and hands pull together like the monks walking around? No. If we do that, we're going to run into the wall. We cannot drive around. And, well, some of us are driving with the eyes closed while we're driving. So that's the next point. But that's not what this means. That's a posture of the prayer. But prayer is not prayer itself. Prayer itself is communion and communication with God. We can do that all day long without actually getting on our knees, without closing our eyes. Next commandment is in everything. Note that, please. In everything. It didn't say for everything. In everything, give thanks. We don't give thanks to God for everything. I don't want to give thanks to God for when I go through trouble and trials. But in everything, I can give thanks to God. In spite of the situation, I can still praise God because He is my strength. Do not quench the spirit. How often do you hear this word, do not quench the spirit, especially in those who are in the charismatic people and realm? They said, well, if you stop people from speaking in tongue, you are quenching the spirit. Find me one verse in the Bible. You do not. They take this out of context. Only way that you can quench the spirit is when we make an indifference and a rejection of Jesus Christ. Then we quench the spirit. Has nothing to do with us using the spiritual gift in the wrong way. And by the way, why do we want to use the spiritual gift in the wrong way, in our own way, or the denominational way? Because somebody says so, so I'm going to do what David says. Why not do it in according to the Bible? Next commandment, do not despise prophecy. It is very possible prophecy was being despised because some of the individuals abused prophecy. Do we still have a prophecy? Yes and no. Do we have a prophet? Not in the same way the Bible states, but if prophecy come and that person speaks an oracle of God, I say that person is a prophet. It depends on how God gives to that person. But whenever we get, it's, as we said, do not despise the prophecy. If we receive prophecy, we ought to examine the prophecy according to God's way, according to God's book. If it does not coincide with what the God's book says, we ignore it. Test all things. Evil and deception can show itself as some divine appearance. It is no wonder why Satan himself disguised himself as an angel of light. Remember that portion? How often do you remember that book, the Walking in the Light, that some woman is becoming a bestseller? That is full of garbage. It's a New Age movement. 18th commandment is hold fast what is good, and the 19th commandment, abstain from every form of evil. We have to question ourselves what kinds of pastime and what kinds of amusement or what kinds of entertainment we have. And if it's something reproachable, if it's something questionable, best not to take it. let's say there is a movie, it's a PG-13, and you read the what's a PG-13 is for, and it says there's a little bit of nudity and foul language. Would you go? I don't. Especially according to my resident Holy Spirit, my wife, she said, you will not go, my husband. So I said, I'm not going, my wife. Forget the God's rest. My wife's rest is worse. If it's anything questionable, stay away. We need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Is it worth it? Ask yourself, is this going to edify me? If it doesn't, why? Why do you want to watch that and put that in your heart and end up getting in trouble? Verse 23. Now may the Lord God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, and I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verse 20th commandment is be preserved blameless. One more slide. Oops, wrong. Be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way we should live. No one should blame us for being impure and unholy as we wait for him. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. And some of you guys have seen on TV the news report. Those people still kiss on each other's cheek. That's what he meant. I'm not talking about essential thing the people from the San Francisco would think. Since there's a lot of yo-yos in this land, from handshake, a nice good hug will do. Last commandment, this epistle be read to all holy brethren. There is no way we get to know Jesus Christ and his heart and the Father's heart without reading the book on your lap every day. Don't just read it before you come to church or while you're in the church. If you do that, you're starving your spiritual body. You should read that book every day. Seek him. Get to know him. You'll be surprised how much you get blessed. Let's stand up and pray. And some of you are thinking, who's going to clean up that mess? I will. Later.